If you would take up your Bibles, and for those of you that are in the modern world, want to turn on your Bibles, we're going to enter into a short series. So your message notes are either in your worship guide or they are online and you can download them. The Apostle Paul, in a portion of his letter that he wrote to the Colossian church in chapter 2 and verse 3, it's not in your notes, he said this: in him, Jesus, lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it's through these letters that he provides for us greater wisdom and knowledge. This wisdom, the term Sophia, speaks about a deep insight, a deep moral insight. It speaks about giving one sound judgment upon which to live his or her life. The knowledge spoken of here, gnosis, it is to know something or someone and to know something well about them. So the Lord Jesus, we are being told by the Holy Spirit, that as we open the pages to the Word of God, we will be the beneficiaries of a treasure. He will give you His wisdom in the midst of your DPE. He will meet you there and day by day make you wiser and wiser to live this life that you find yourself in. And with that will come knowledge. The knowledge you need to be able to live this life. Developing a hopeful faith during trials, during storms that we come to face. And that's what I'm calling this series: developing a hopeful faith during trials. We haven't rid ourselves yet of the pandemic, but I'm told we are but a few weeks away from shedding these things and being totally surprised who's been hiding behind them, right? I'm going to have to shave again. We have had a moral pandemic going on for the last several decades. And it's going to continue, unfortunately. So it's important for us to receive from this treasury that our Heavenly Father openly offers us, to receive this wisdom and knowledge, to be able to live in this world that we not only find a loving Lord, but a very discouraging Satan. There is another pandemic on its way. Maybe you've noticed when you went to the market or to the gas station, or you've been looking at maybe wanting to buy a new house. It's called a financial pandemic. Gasoline has gone up 65 cents across the country. Lumber has doubled in price. And by that, what I'm saying to you is that if you want to buy a new house, that lumber adds $30,000 to $35,000 more dollars to the house. All these things are taking place. And I'm not quite sure what we can do about it besides continue to pray against it. But the sources of these things were elected by half the population of the United States. Life is hard work. I'm guessing you've had times when you've wanted to throw in the towel. I don't think I'm the only one who's thought about it over the course of a lifetime. Some of you have probably thought about when you were at school, throwing in the towel, or serving in the military under some fellow you wonder how he ever got his stripes. But you can't throw in the towel. You have a contract, and you will fulfill it. Some of us have wanted to throw in the towel with our marriages. Others have wanted to throw in the towel even in the ministry. Many of you will remember Mike Livingston, who was the district superintendent, who became the regional superintendent before he retired. And he told me about 15 years into the ministry, did I realize that all of the men that I entered the ministry with back in 1983, 80% of them were now gone, threw in the towel. They quit. They quit because the ministry was too hard. Maybe a few of you. We've got a couple of preachers in the church. Others who are teachers in the church. Remember when we had shepherd groups? Remember meeting with shepherd group leaders? And of the five that we had, three were quitting. I said, why? Well, they're throwing in the towel. It was just too hard. I said, the Bible study is too hard? No. What was too hard is that they would show up on whatever night it was that their shepherd group meet with 5 to 10 people in each of them. But oftentimes the group that had 10 people in it, only 5 showed up because the other 5 were at a Dodger game or some other sporting event or just something else that was more interesting. They didn't bother to call. And most of them never showed up having done their homework. It was only a shepherd group leader that was ready to talk about serious things in the scriptures. And to know that there were other people there who had their back and wanted to be there to pray and find out how the things they prayed about the week before had changed, what they might be able to do to be of help. Maybe things that are troubling you are deeper and you want to throw in the towel. Maybe it's you're going to give up. Remember my wonderful stepfather, Walter McAkron. I have to talk very quickly because I loved that man so much. But he went to hell. But he worked very hard at helping my mom and myself to understand what needed to be taken care of and how to look after mom when he left. And as soon as we understood or could tell him we had it in hand, then he told his oncologist, pull the plug. I'm not going to take this medicine anymore. I'm not going to put my family through soiling myself and falling down and having people have to lift me up and get me into the bath and wash me off. Get me back in bed. Just not going to do it anymore. 2 weeks after he pulled the plug, I lost my wonderful stepfather. Some of you may be thinking about financial issues. You may be a person who's received a lot of criticism for one reason or another. Maybe you're stressed out over the political concerns that we presently have before us. James, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, he also had struggles in life, and we're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say through him. So you might want to turn to the book of James. James not only had all the struggles we have, but he and the people of Christ then were being persecuted, like our brothers and sisters presently in Africa with Boko Haram. The husbands being taken out and massacred, and the wives being raped and murdered, and the children having their little limbs cut off. All because they're Christians. We have so many people in China and India and in Indonesia and in Sudan and so many other places. They suffer the same things that we're looking at, but they have this whole area of persecution added in. As you see in your notes, James knew that in the middle of tough times, like the ones his readers were facing, hope was essential. And I really want you, having had me regurgitate what we're looking at today, it's nothing compared to what others of our brothers and sisters are going through right now in other countries, and we have these promises that he is giving us, that if we take the promise and put it in our heart and memorize it, we'll never find ourselves falling down and feeling like I want to throw in the towel, like I don't have the support of my Heavenly Father. But looking back at your notes, hope was essential. Therefore, the book of James, Abba Father gives us a roadmap. He takes the time to take this book, and he says it's available to each and every one of you. Don't leave it on the coffee table. Don't leave it in the trunk of your car. Pick it up. Take it with you into the office. Take it with you into your home and embrace it. The roadmap is here and how to embrace a hopeful faith. I do not know what you are facing today, but you can still lean into these seven truths during difficult seasons. And find a smile back on your face again. And to know that you have not been forsaken. And that the Lord continues to walk with you. No matter what it is that you're facing. So the first promise we have here is our difficulties will not last. They will not last. Would you say that with me? Our difficulties will not last. Think about it. In light of eternity, our problems are short in duration. I can't wrap my mind, as I've shared with you in the past, around that word eternity. My mind is finite. And the fact that he says that my difficulties are short in comparison. And they are. Even if I live 100 years, oh Lord, please, no. It's short when you compare it to eternity. Think of it. If I had a string and I were to attach it right here to the pulpit, and I were to ask Damien to come up and run that string all the way out to the hallway, and the first 1/8 of an inch is 100 years. It's short in comparison. It's short. The 3 years that I was convalescing because of an injury when I was in law enforcement, I thought it would never be over. But it's been over for years now. And during those 3 years, he was faithful through it all. He answered Kathy's prayers, for which she was sorry. She had prayed I would be home more. And now I was home 24/7 for 3 years. Be careful what you pray for. Did you just say amen, honey? Three years, family. I don't know if you've ever had to convalesce. Had to go see a doctor 3 times a week for 3 years. Lose your whole career. The Lord is faithful. Our difficulties will not last. So in light of eternity, our problems are short in duration. I think of Johnny Erickson, there was a time in my life when Johnny and I were close friends. I worked with her when she started her ministry. And think about her. She was 17 years old when she broke her neck diving into a lake. She was vivacious, talented, beautiful, and now 17 years old and a quadriplegic. And not a quadriplegic for 3 years. She is a quadriplegic today, and she's in her 60s. And as a quadriplegic, she needs everything done for her. Everything. She can't wash herself. She can't take herself to the restroom. She needs everything taken care of for her. And there would be women that I have counseled in the past, you know, I'm never going to get married. They don't know that that might be a blessing. But they're, you know, I'm just not pretty enough or whatever. And I tell him, you know, Johnny Erickson, do you know her? And if not, I'd tell the story about Johnny. And this guy named Tata, who I worked with in the counseling ministry with him. But I had no idea that behind the scenes, he and Johnny were falling in love with each other. And Ken has been a faithful husband to Johnny for decades and continues to be a strong part of helping her in a ministry that goes round the world. Around the world. And here she is, a quadriplegic. The word of God reminds us in James chapter 5, verse 10. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets. Sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. They were able to put up with a lot of hardships. If you've never read the prophets in the Old Testament, please do so. Please do so. See what they went through. But we have our modern day examples as well, like I just shared with you, Johnny. Say with me, my suffering is only temporary. My suffering is only temporary. Again, like you believe it. Okay? You've got it. Now, the rest of us, do you all have it like Gary? My suffering is only temporary. Ask Ronald Wright. 4 years in the Army. It's over. Ask Kathy. 52 years of marriage. Probably close to being over. All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, our Heavenly Father asked Paul to share with the Corinthian church family, and this morning he's asking that to be shared with you and with me as I've gone through it several times in the last week and a half. He says, no temptation, no parisimos, no trial, no test has overtaken you that is not common to man. Think of Johnny again. Quadriplegic. She's not the only quadriplegic that we know. Vicki Olivas. Vicki Olivas was a young mother, single mother, with an infant. She went looking for a job. And the man that interviewed her tried to take advantage of her. And she literally was running away from him when he pulled a gun and shot her. No husband to come alongside and help her. No husband to come and take the boy, Arturo. She captivates the hearts of people. She became a Christian out of this debilitating event that took place in life. And she knows that even though she's in her late 50s or early 60s, these difficulties aren't going to last. But she's had to have everything done for her and at the same time be a mother. These trials that have overtaken you that are not common to man. God is faithful. And he will let you, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Would you circle the word you there? And why don't you put your name in there? No temptation has overtaken you, Ron, that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let Ron be tempted beyond his ability. He won't allow Barbara to be tempted beyond her ability. He won't let Nina or Damien or Andrew be tempted beyond their ability. But with the temptation, with the trial, will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. That's a promise, then. Because our difficulties are not going to be long-lasting. Action step. To increase your hope, you need to change your perspective. Look for God's perspective, your Heavenly Father's. During your DPE, your Gnosko time, getting to know him, work this through with him. Find out more. Search the treasury for wisdom and knowledge concerning this issue. The action step is to increase your hope. You need to change your perspective. Stop looking at only the here and now. Start paying more attention to God's word and your soul, because they're eternal. So let us remember, our difficulties will not last. Get it? Good. Our second promise to remember when we find ourselves in difficult seasons of life, to help build our faith, Father God will use our troubles. That's number two. Father God will use our troubles. He never wastes a hurt if you're paying attention. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans when he wrote the Roman church family in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who agape the Lord Jesus, who got agape God the Father, all things will work together for good. All things will work together for good. My losing my career gave Kath her husband back. It gave our children their daddy back. I lost my career, but I wasn't managing it well, and I loved the gift of my career more than the giver of my career. So he took it away. Time's up, Ron. I'm going to get your full attention now for 3 years. You're going to have to depend on me. And at the end of that, I'm going to punish you and send you into the ministry. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. James gives more detail about the good work Abba Father is doing through us when he writes here in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, when your steadfastness, is another term that is used in the English translation, is fully developed, when your hypomonen, the quality that enables a person to stay on their feet when they're facing a storm in their life, is fully developed, you will be perfect. Teleos. Nothing else needs to be added to your life. You will be perfect and complete, meaning that you're going to find yourself being spiritually mature, needing nothing. Trials are the means that Abba uses in your life and has used in my life to make believers like us his kids. And then he uses these in such a way that we will live lives that bring him honor. The character of God that is in us when the Holy Spirit occupied us at the time that we confessed and repented of our sins, the character of God becomes apparent when we go through these difficult seasons in life. The fact is this, here's your fill-in. Father God is using your problems to develop your patience, endurance, and strength in character, which will make you ready for anything. It may not seem like it, but it's true. It's true. You likely feel tired and depleted when you're struggling, but trials only make you stronger spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. I'd like you to meet Christina, and I do not speak Chinese, but you can see her name there. Is it Sai? Sai? Christina, an amazing lady, who was converted to Christ in missionary school in China. Her family was furious when they found out that she had forsaken the ancestral gods and goddesses. Yet over time, Christina managed to win 55 members of her family to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, I covet that. To win 55 people and Kelly's and my family to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1930, she was stricken with malaria, which left her debilitated. She had to confine herself to a very dark room because she became exceedingly sensitive to noise and to light. Until her death in 1984, she was confined in places like that. But her ministry grew despite her weaknesses, just like Johnny's. It grew in spite of her weaknesses, with many people visiting her bedside and coming to faith in the Lord Jesus. Looking at your notes, from her bed as a pulpit, she led countless people to accept Christ. Drawn by the Holy Spirit, people traveled from many parts of the world to visit her. She seldom refused anyone, no matter how unwell she felt. All of us long for good health. And we worry about sickness, injury, illnesses, and disease, while our concern is, should be considered normal and natural. We need to remember how mighty Abba Father is and can use us regardless of how we feel day to day. Kathy continues to be a loving and living example to me. On Wednesday nights, she's been teaching during the day, she is ready to go and wants to go and meet with the ladies that come out on Wednesday night and love them and be their teacher. And I meet so many people that tell me, you know, I'm just too tired. I can't help you out. Paul says, okay. I'm tired too. But ministry in people's lives is still far too important. We can be spiritually strong in Christ. For it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live in the flesh. I live it in the flesh by faith in Him who gave Himself up for me. We can be spiritually strong in Christ even when we are physically weak. Christina said, she looked at your notes, clouds may gather over our home in times of sickness or bereavement, but the influence of the sweet Christian character shines through the clouds with a golden radiance, bringing a lasting blessing. Action step, family. Learn the lesson found in the troubling trial. Remember how Abba used it for your good and then store it away for the next time should it come up. Our difficulties will not last. Father God will use each of these troubles that come into our life. And the third promise is, if you come back next week, I'll tell you. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, you didn't have to make any promises to us. But nonetheless, you're our encourager. You're the one that wants us to be optimistic, positive, and hopeful. Thank you for loving us so much that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you will stand with us every day, every moment of every day, throughout every week, month, and year, all the way into and through eternity. Thank you for giving us Johnny and Vicky and Christina this morning, your kids that have been called upon to go through so much. And yet all they have to say is how much they love you and want to encourage other people to come to know you. Thank you for giving us such rich examples. Thank you that we can find even others in your written word. May my church family find your Bible to be that book that they long to get to at some point of every day. But during that time, there's that very deep, personal, intimate experience that takes place with them. So that each of them, as they fall more deeply and deeply and more deeply in love with you, Father, and your Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they will be these spokespersons for you, and that others are going to hear the good news that Jesus came to give us and to save our souls, and that they may know the joy in their own lives of having led a family member, a dear friend, a total stranger to faith in Christ. Please, Father, use us for your glory, and may we learn the lessons that you taught us this morning and apply them in our lives. For I know I do ask this for myself, and I don't want to presume upon my church family, but I believe we ask you to do these things for us in our lives, in Jesus' name.